Okay, so when we have a new heart, and the reason we can do that is I showed you in Jeremiah 31 that when one component of the nation Israel is changed during the millennium, what does God's word call that change in the nation Israel? A new heart. It's three or four times in 31st chapter of the book of you better get it or that's what's going to happen. Okay, so my sergeant in arms just lets you know what happens if you try to poo-poo or flummox me in the concept of a new heart. Scripture calls when you change a component of one of these three components, Scripture calls it a new heart, so we're going to call it a new heart. Now, we've been going through the reason, let's go down in the outline just a bit to this part. Why is it so important to understand the new heart? I think Dave mentioned he went to a funeral this last week. Most Christian services, most Christian messages have human responsibility prior to doing anything for God. It's mostly done in terms of how people speak and what they say and what they teach. They teach that you do it in your own strength. If you understand the new heart, the only righteous thought you can think is in the realm of what you is in the realm of your access to the mind of Christ. I cannot think a righteous thought in my natural mind. Got it? I couldn't even believe the gospel in my natural mind. Let me show you that. Look at 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. When you are saved, remember we saw over in 1 John that the sperm of that conception comes from the Father. And then we saw the matrix where that sperm is planted. The female aspect of it is in the gospel. Now, how does that happen? Verse 4 of the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians is talking in the negative because it's talking about the unsaved. Don't understand that, so we can turn it around for the saved. For whom the God of this age blinds the workings or the results of the workings of mind of them that believe not. Now the next phrase is going to tell you what happens when you believe. Lest the light of the glorious gospel concerning Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in. Can this light shine in this old mind? No, it can't. At conception, it shines in this new mind because the spermata of God the Father is part of that conception as it goes into the gospel because it has the genetic makeup of what's going to become the new birth. Remember, conception is not birth. In humans, it's 8 or 9 and plus months apart, generally. In this, it's a logical sequence. The conception spiritually comes just before, logically, the new birth. Probably instantaneous, but you have to have this new mind, the mind of Christ, in order to think anything that is righteous. Now, I'm just going to do a quick review. I forgot the main point we're trying to get across. I was taught in Sunday school, you got to have a point. So here's my point. If you understand the new heart, you will always have in your sequential and logical thinking divine enabling before human responsibility. Let me give you two examples in Christendom today. D-U-M-B, where they get it wrong. When they say you have to prove that Christ is Lord of your life to be saved, what comes first? In that scenario, human responsibility comes and then the divine enabling. That's wrong. We believe in lordship because of salvation. In other words, the divine enabling of faith comes first and then the lordship comes second. Another one would be, And you're going to get this in circles that are very close to ours, where they'll say, put your mind above to get spiritual. In fact, some of you were in a Tuesday night meeting where I got in a fairly extended argument with somebody that wanted you to be spiritual by going to Romans 6 chapter and 11th verse, put your mind above and then you become spiritual. What comes first in that scenario? Human responsibility. That is, whenever that is first, that's self-help, that's self, what would you say, that's bootstrap religion, where you're doing it. If you understand the new heart, you have a relationship with God the Father, and then you can think, and I can think the righteous thoughts, the divine enabling comes first. So the proper way to say that is, when you're rightly related to the Father, focus. And that's what it says in the Bible, not what it says. That, by the way, that one song needs a little correction. You and I do not put our mind above. Where would this mind be all the time? Well, it's not down here. So what I need to do as a person, because I still have my natural will, I still have my natural emotions, what I need to do is I need to focus on this mind, because I have a dual set of thinking coming in. Simple. It's just so simple. Now, get this. Human responsibility always is preceded by divine enabling. Probably a better way to say that. Divine enabling always comes before human responsibility. Now we're going to see some very quick. This is a review, so it's very quick. Romans the 10th chapter. When we initially are saved, verse 10, it involves the heart. Now I'm going to tell you, when the spermata is planted in the gospel, you have a new heart. And that new heart then, in verse 10, for it is with the heart one, not just a man, that believes into righteousness. So it's in the realm of the heart. Now, did I determine on my own to believe the gospel? Come on. Where am I believing the gospel? Do I have the ability to believe the gospel in my natural mind? And the answer is no. And so we have three verses, actually four, that say that we're given the gift of faith to believe the gospel. You and I cannot conjure up the faith to believe the gospel. We never did. The Holy Spirit gives us that gift, and it's pretty complicated, but we can have that thought. And then because we have that thought, then we determine to believe the gospel. Now, another thing that understanding the new heart is important with, these two aspects of our humanity are not saved. Our human will, we can do bad things, or we can determine to do bad things, and our emotions can run us and do the wrong thing. So when we are using the mind of Christ, these two elements, our determination and our emotion, will come along for the ride and will be under control. One of the things of understanding the new heart is understanding that you can have emotion, but they do not rule you. If we ever get to that line, we're going to see that today. But we're going to do then another quick review. Now, how do I learn, Ephesians, the first chapter, how do I learn new spiritual truth? We spent a whole Sunday on each of these, so we're not going to recap the whole verse. First chapter of Ephesians in the 18th verse. First chapter of Ephesians 18. Now, the eyes of your heart is obviously a metaphor describing how in the realm of your heart you have intellectual comprehension. Now, that intellectual comprehension would be what one of these components of the heart would use intellectual comprehension? A mind. And since here it's talking about illumination, what mind would it be? Let me read it. 118. For the eyes of your, now you have the King James understanding, it should be heart, having been enlightened or illumined. And this is talking about spiritual truth. So as a Christian, when I learn something new spiritually, I have to learn it via the mind of Christ. in the realm of my new heart. Which means, and I've given this example, in fact, 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, gives this example. You can take a Jew who knows Hebrew backwards and forwards, has spoken it their whole whole life, and if they're unsaved, they cannot discern God and what it is about in the Old Testament if they're unsaved. That's what 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, says. It says the veil is still upon their heart because they can't be illumined. Why can't an unsaved Jew who knows Hebrew better than me understand the book of Genesis less than me, who is halfway illiterate in Hebrew, but I know enough of it to get around? How can he not know as much about what's happening in Genesis as I do? Or you? Because he doesn't have what? He doesn't have the mind of Christ. He doesn't have the eyes of the heart. You see, this is not just a theoretical concept. This is something that you will analyze yourself as you go through life. Why are my emotions getting away from me? I need to get in the realm of my mind of Christ, because every Christian has it. And now let's turn to 1 Peter, the third chapter and the 15th verse, where this is where they get lordship salvation, but I'm going to give you the correct translation of this verse. And this is where we get lordship because of salvation. They misread it, and I think that purposely the King James mistranslated it a little bit that way. The word sanctify, holy, means to set apart. When you see holy, 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 that hymn, and you know why there's three holies, one for each person of the Godhead. What you're saying is set apart is God, set apart is God. Well, really, it goes like this. Set up, if you sing holy, 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 you're singing, set apart is God the Father, set apart is God the Son, set apart is God the Holy Spirit. What does set apart mean? They're set apart to themselves. They're self-existent. If you want to extend your vocabulary, it's called aseity. And you can look that up. 1 Peter, the third chapter and the 15th verse. But you, now this is human responsibility. When it says you, but you set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. Now, how can I do that? Can I do that on my own? Well, my will, I can determine to do it only at the direction of my righteous thinking in the realm of my mind of Christ. And then the way I like to picture it, oh, by the way, emotions come along with the ride, because this is where we're going. This is where we're going. And the emotions come along with it. You set aside Christ as Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give a defense to everyone that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. And the fear here is not fear of God. The fear is getting it wrong. The fear is you don't want to get it wrong. You should always. Not every Christian can teach. Not every Christian feels is comfortable expositing the word. But every Christian ought to be able to give the gospel. That's what the verse says. That's what the verse says. Now, another intricacy of understanding the heart is over in the third chapter of Ephesians. Third chapter of Ephesians. And again, we're going kind of quick because we want to get to today's lesson. I sure hope we get there. And that's in Ephesians, the third chapter, in the 17th verse. You have a very interesting word here. It has the idea of making a home. Now, I want to describe some terms here. Home is different than house. When we moved into a new house, it didn't feel like a home in the middle of the night when I get up at 12:30 and 2:30 to have a drink of milk and do other things. But after a few months, I was comfortable there. Then it became a home. So you understand the difference between home and house. Now, let me read the verse. Verse 17, third chapter of Ephesians. That Christ may make a home, settle down at home in your heart. Now, what are the qualifications? through the faith, which means overcoming the three enemies, and having been rooted and grounded in love. So if you're a Christian, now most people just get half the story. We spend a lot of time telling you about the three enemies and how to defeat them. You know, that's only one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is in the last part of this verse, practicing the new commandment. So we don't just defeat the three enemies. We beat you guys. We defeat the three enemies so then we can serve God. While we're defeating the three enemies, we are not much use in terms of serving God at that point. But if we have a propensity to overcome in the three enemies, then we can practice the new commandment. If you'll turn over to 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, we saw another way that we have to... you wouldn't understand these verses, is what I'm saying, if you didn't understand what a new heart is. And what I'm emphasizing today, the new heart is primarily having a new element in your spiritual component, which is the mind of Christ, a new potential, a divine enabling, as it were. 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter and the fifth verse. And the Lord may direct. This is, you should put the word may in your thinking there. This is called an optative, which means it's highly, highly conditional. So this is a conditional phrase here. That the Lord may direct your hearts into love. So can I just determine, according to this verse, can I just determine to practice the new commandment? Yes, I can do that. But can I do it on my own and do it accurately? What does the verse say? Who's going to direct that love correctly? Well, it says right there, the Lord, the head of the body. If I'm in a slave-master relationship to Jesus Christ in the terms of the body of Christ, then the head will direct me as to what my service is within that body. Then it goes on to say, a very strange statement if you don't understand heart, that the Lord may direct your hearts into the love of the God the Father. Remember, we went over to 1 John, the 4th chapter, 24th verse. It says, if you love God the Father, you love Him the brethren, because you can't love Him directly. The love of God the Father unto the patience of the Christ. And what it says here, and we went into what the Christ is, you need to remember that. That's over in let's do that very quickly. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 12th verse. This is a definition verse. This tells you what the Christ is. The Christ is a technical term that describes the body-head relationship correctly. When they're in correct relationship, it'd be more accurate. The church is not the head. The head is not the body. The church is the body. Together, the head and the body together are called the Christ. Verse 12. 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians. For as one human body is one thing, and hath many members, and all the members is still one human body. I'm adding some words to help you out here. Last part of verse 12. Being many are one human body. Colon. Meaning the rest is going to explain further what was happening here. In the first part of the verse. The last part of the verse says, so also is the Christ. So when the head is correctly, or when the head is operating as the slave master and the body is operating as the slave, that relationship is called the Christ. Back over to 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter and the fifth verse. Last part of the verse. This is how you direct the love to the brethren correctly. And the patience of the Christ. Remember, patience is not a divine enabling. Romans, the 5th chapter and the 3rd verse, is a human acquired skill. And it's caused by circumstance. So patience has to do with circumstance. Long-suffering has to do with other Christians. And it says here that patient for the Christ. You know, I have been in many a church, and I've always had, in most churches, we haven't had it here, so don't not stepping on any toes here that I know of. But almost every church I've been in, they haven't been satisfied. There's always some way they can improve it. And they're always telling God how to improve their assembly. And what this verse says is, just take some patience that the body works. The head knows what he's doing. And the body, if it's subject to the head, will get everything it needs. Now, we find that over in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and the 16th verse, and Colossians, 2nd chapter, and 19th verse, where both of those verses, in a different way, they emphasize different things, say that if the body is correctly related to the... Ephesians 4:16 does this real well, say that if the body is correctly related to the head, that the body gets all the nourishment it needs spiritually. And then, in the last part of Ephesians 4:16, it says, if the body is taking the nourishment that's being directed, spiritual nourishment that's being directed down to each part of the body, and if it's rightly related to the head, they'll operate by love and minister to the rest of the body. So now let's put it all together. I want to practice the new commandment because Rich keeps telling me, you better do the new commandment. And you better answer this in your head, and then I'll give you your answer. Can you do that on your own? And the answer is no. I just read it to you, that the Lord may direct your love. That the Lord may direct your love, and he can direct it when you understand how the body-head relationship works and how the body works. I see a need in this church, and I'll give you an example. I gave it before, but I'll give it again. I was in a church that was very poor. In fact, most of the churches I've been in have been very poor. And I've heard people at Wednesday night prayer meeting and sometimes Tuesday night prayer, Lord, send us a rich person. No. If the head wanted you to have more money, you'd have it. Take care of your own duty within the body of Christ, what you're supposed to do to minister the body of Christ, and don't worry about the other parts. If the Lord wants you to have an evangelist, you'll get an evangelist. If the Lord wants you to be in penury, you'll be poor. And sometimes, and in fact, this is scriptural, the people at Philippi were up in Macedonia, were known as the poorest of all the churches in the Bible. And you know who gave Paul the most money? Macedonia. You know who were the richest, according to history and stuff, in the Bible? Corinth. And you know who Paul wouldn't take a cent from? Corinth. You know who Paul had to tell Corinth they need to admire in terms of their giving? Macedonia, up by Philippi. Money doesn't mean anything in terms of spiritual wealth and spiritual riches. Now that brings us to today. If you'll turn to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to give you the context, because if we're not going to get everything that's in this verse in this context, we'll come back here many times. Verse 15, 3rd chapter, Colossians. Let the peace, remember peace is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. So now you already have divine enabling. Peace. Now the next phrase in the King James unfortunately is wrong. When they translated the King James, they had 14 or 15 texts. We now have thousands of texts, and this not even 99.9, instead of saying in this verse, the peace of God, it should read the peace of the Christ. Anybody got an any linear? Am I right? Okay, so if anybody needs an archival pen, I'll give it to you to change your Bible. It should say the Christ. Now let's read that again. Let the peace of the Christ. Now, I would take this to, a lot of times it's talking about the person of Christ, but I would take this based on the fact that you have body truth in the latter part of this verse to mean the head and the body relationship in the body of Christ. Let the peace, now I want to talk about peace and then we'll look at the rest of the verse. Peace is an unruffledness of mind. It's an intellectual, rational concept. Now, given what we've gone through, and where's the peace going to be here in the verse 15? It's going to be in the heart. So where would peace, where would divine enabling in a heart come from? Would it come from your emotion, which is the soul, which is unsaved? Would it come from your will, which is your person? Or would it come from your thinking and the mind of Christ? Well, it come from the mind of Christ. It's divine enabling. That peace. Now, I want to go back to John 14:27 and make a distinction between what, so you can see what peace really is. John 14, and it's verse 27. This is the night before Jesus goes to the cross. The disciples, the 11 that are left, are very upset. In the first verse of this chapter, he's told them, don't let your heart be agitated. I can just see them. They don't know what's going to go on because they were spiritually blinded from his death, burial, and resurrection. And they were very upset emotionally. You know, these are some strong guys, but they're upset emotionally. And in verse 27, anticipating the sending of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, he says, peace. Now you have in your King James, I leave. I would change that to I send. I send to you my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled or agitated, neither be afraid or cowardly. So we have two kinds of peace, the kind that the world offers and the kind that God offers. The kind the world offers, I would submit to you, is like a mirage. You ever been out Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, where you look up and you see it, there's a little dip in the road, you're driving along and it looks like there's water there, and then you drive up, where'd the water go? And then you keep going to the next one. It's a mirage. It doesn't really exist. It's an illusion. It has to do with the light rays being bent and stuff. But the peace of the world is an illusion. There's never really peace from the world. It's always a carrot that as a donkey, you never quite reach. It's always just, well, even when things are going good, human government wants to change it to make it better. There's no such thing as peace in the world. It's always, well, if you're upset, we'll do that. And it's always changing. In fact, there's two verses that say that Satan is evolving the world system. It always evolves. It's an illusion. But God gives a peace, an inner tranquility that the world can't even match. Isn't that what the verse just said? I'm not going to give you the same sort of peace that the world gives. John 14:27. I give my peace. Now he gives it by means of the Holy Spirit. We know that by Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse, that peace is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Let's turn back to Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse. So that peace then, the peace of the Christ, what would that mean? Well, that means that if I'm functioning in the body of Christ, letting the head be the head, not telling the head what to do. This is my, what I'm trying to get across. Most prayers that, quote, Christians pray are telling the head how he ought to fix things instead of telling the head who he is as God and submitting to him. I think he might have a little bit better overall view and better idea. No, I don't think it. I know he has a better idea of the outcome. So when you pray, I'm giving you a hint, and this is from Scripture. Don't be so fixed on outcomes, and I'll give you some verses in just a minute. Be more fixed on how you react to whatever happens. Okay? That's Scripture. That's Scripture. Ephesians, the third chapter, 15 verse. Let the peace from the Christ. There's a solace. There's a comfort in knowing that the head will take care of the body. And in fact, let me read these two verses. I went back and retranslated them. I was going to do them in a different way. Turn it with me back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and the 16th verse. I'm going to give you an extended translation. I'm going to try not to comment on it too much. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and the 16th verse. Out of whom, that's Christ, the previous verse, the head, out of whom, who was the head, all the body being joined together and knit together in purpose, through every joint of its supply, of the body's supply, according to the operation of each part, by the measure that he, the head, crafts for himself, the growth of the body, because of building itself up. The body builds itself up. Now, how does the body build itself up? Last part of the verse. By love. Turn over to the Colossians, the second chapter, in the 19th verse. In the 18th verse, it's talking about people that are doing wrong. And then it starts off verse 19 saying they're not doing this. And then he tells them what they should do. So we're just going to read what you should do in verse 19. Holding fast the head, remember the head is Christ, of whom all the body, through the joints and ligaments being supplied, and being knit together in purpose, it, the body, grows with the growth from God. You know, when you read that, there should be a comfort. There should be a peace. Do we have this? There's a condition here. The condition we had in previous messages. If we are generally overcoming three enemies, and if we should happen to be practicing on a fairly consistent basis the new commandment, is there any need this church has that's not being met? And the answer is no. We have everything. The head is going to take care of everything we need. We don't need any more. We don't need any less. Because the head's going to take. Do you see the comfort in that? You don't have to go out and sell Jesus Christ like in my day, like Kirby vacuum cleaners. I knew a guy that sold Kirby vacuum cleaners. And they would get together and sing about Kirby vacuum cleaners before they went out to build up there. And then they'd go out, and sometimes they'd do demonstrations in the house that it'd take an hour to do, and then the people would feel obligated and buy something. And you don't have to do all that. You don't have to sell Jesus Christ. If you don't have the gift of evangelist, I read the verse for you, in terms of salvation earlier, what are you supposed to do in terms of the gospel? Be ready to give an answer. Now, do you think if there's somebody elect that you're to lead to the Lord, that the head's going to have them ask you? Yeah. Yeah. It's not a sales job. It's not a sales job. What a comfort. Back over to the third chapter. Now, I picked this verse because this is Super Bowl Sunday. My understanding is that the referees today are going to limit their attire to a Chiefs logo on their hat. They're not going to signify who they're for more than that. Now that brings you to the 15th verse of the third chapter. Do I think they've been cheating? I think Vegas gave them a call, but that's just me. But verse 15, third chapter of Colossians. Let the peace of the Christ, the body ahead operating correctly. Now you have the King James rule, and here's why I talked about the Chiefs. referee in your hearts. Now, this is going to be a good referee. This isn't going to be one that got a call from Vegas. It says here that if you understand how the body, this is what we're trying to get to today. If I understand how the head operates, and I read those two verses for you, operates and takes care of every, if the body's doing what it's supposed to do, the head will take care of its every need. Now that peace, that spiritual peace, will referee correctly, accurately, not just most of the time. What is it going to referee? Our hearts. Now, what needs refereeing in my heart? My emotion. And I forgot to mention, and I want to mention now, in this context, it's talking about some brethren who are having a little discord among each other. And in this discord, what Paul and the Holy Spirit are saying, if you understand how the body of Christ works, there's no competition in the body of Christ. I'm on my racetrack, you're on yours, and yours is your job and mine is my job. And if I understand how that works, I'm not going to get emotional at brethren who are doing what I don't think they should do, because who's my job? It's me. I start pointing at you and I got three fingers pointing at me. We used to have somebody that you probably, I won't get to, that we've somewhat been associated with, would look at stuff in the church and say, can I use you as an example? Ty, you need to go do that. And I used to say, well, if you see that need, why don't you do it? Take care of yourself. That's how the body works. Oh, the body's not working good? Are you related to the head correctly? Am I related to... Maybe that's what's wrong with how it's working. Maybe it's my relationship to the head. Because if my relationship to the head is correct, that's going to rule, like an umpire, my emotions. I'll be able to sort them out. Do you notice it? I'm never saying don't have emotion. I'm saying let them come along, but they're the tail and you're the dog. You wag it. It doesn't wag you. Let's keep going on this verse. I like this verse. Don't worry, we won't go for too long. Robert, I can see you're getting a little squirrely there. Let the peace, fruit of the Spirit of the Christ, how the head and the body operate, referee in your hearts. And that would be in the realm of your emotions. It doesn't say get rid of them. It says sort them out. Am I upset at how the, and this in this context, I know the context. Am I upset at the brethren because I'm competitive with them? Am I upset at the brethren because they don't do what I think they should do? Well, let's sort that out. Well, now, if you're upset about them for teaching something wrong, then that's a different story, okay? That's how you sort out your emotions. Keep going. To what you were also called. Now, the word called is always to initial salvation. Every Christian has the exact salvation that you have and I have. I didn't get any more than you, and you didn't get any more than me. When you see the word called, that's what you need to think of. Now, let's keep going. In one body. I'm having a disagreement with these brethren, but maybe my disagreement is with the head that I'm not in a slave relationship. Maybe that's my problem. Now, if they are doing wrong, I'm not saying that you put up with unrighteousness. I'm not saying that. But I have been in many a business meeting where people will argue about what color to paint the vestibule or whether they should put paneling up. These are all actual arguments. Or whether the person who finally did paint the vestibule painted it the right color, and that was an hour of the business meeting. That's why we keep ours to 13 minutes. I also have been in business meetings where people complain they painted the vestibule and they didn't get credit for it. Well, they did it for the wrong reasons. Because if you want credit, you're not doing it out of the divine quality of love. Let's keep going. You are all called into one body. Now, if you are rightly related to the head, if you understand how the body of Christ works, and if you are allowing the peace by the part of the fruit of the Spirit to rule your... See, peace affects emotion. I hope you get that link. Peace is in the realm of your emotion. If the peace from the divine enabling of the Holy Spirit using your mind of Christ is refereeing your emotions, what other thing will you be doing? Last part of the verse. You'll be thankful. And here it's an imperative. You know, I tell myself, so I don't have to go any farther than myself, every time I feel, let me grouse a little. Come on, just let me grouse a little bit. What does that prove? If I want to grouse and I'm not thankful, what does it prove? I don't have my body-head relationship in order, do I? I don't have it in order. You know, there's a verse, there's two verses. There's one in Ephesians that says, let's do those real quickly in closing. In Ephesians, I think we can get it. Let's see, it says, giving thanks always. Oh, it'd be in the fifth chapter, yeah. Fifth chapter, 20th verse. Giving thanks always for all things. And then if you'll go over to 1 Thessalonians, and if you'll look at verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. I know Christians who, well, I guess I'm going to give thanks now. Thank you, God. It's an outcome. It's an outcome. It's a divine... First, the divine enabling is that the fruit from the Spirit of peace referees, without a logo of Kansas City on their head, on their hats, referees the emotion. And when the emotions are coming along for the ride, not ruling the ride, then you're thankful. It's a natural, and I hate to use this word because it's used wrong, it's kind of an organic outcome of a correct relationship to the Son of God. So did I answer this in your head, and then I'll answer it for you. If I'm truly this kind of thankful in everything and for everything, in everything means even when things go wrong, for everything, even when it's not what you wanted, that's the hell come I paid for. If I'm thankful in and for everything, did I do it on my own? And the answer is no. The peace, a part of the fruit of Spirit, umpired my emotion. And as a result, I'm thankful that I have my emotions under control. Not devoid of emotion. We're going to see later, to practice the new commandment, you need emotion. But it has to be governed and has to be under control by the mind of Christ in the realm of the new heart. Our Father, we thank you for the axiom with no exceptions that in initial salvation, present tense salvation, it's always that you divinely enable us so that we then can serve you. We don't serve you so that you can give us something. You give us divine enabling so that we can serve you. And we thank you for that.